Hi, welcome to this episode of the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. My name is Winston. I'm super excited today to be joined by Bailey Beacon. She is the Managing Director for the Senior Care Summits, who put on the SMASH Conference every year. Welcome, Bailey, to the Senior Care Growth Show.
Thank you so much, Winston, and thanks so much for asking me to join you today. I'm excited.
This episode of the Senior Care Growth Show is brought to you by SMASH, the Senior Care Marketing and Sales Summit, bringing together chief strategists from across the senior housing and post-acute continuum. There's nothing like it in senior care anywhere. For a limited time, Senior Care Growth listeners can save $400 on their SMASH registration. Visit www.seniorcaremarketingsummit.com and use code SCG400. That's SCG400. So just by way of introduction, maybe you could tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Sure. Senior Care Summits produces two events a year, but the one we're going to talk about today is the Senior Care Marketing and Sales Summit called SMASH. Most of your audience have probably heard something about it, if not have attended. Our community, what we do at SMASH is bring together really the best and the brightest is the way that I look at it. And those that really want to learn to change their organizational strategy for census and occupancy. So the primary audience for us are the C-suite executives, again, chief strategists who are from multi-site organizations from across the continuum of care, starting with independent living on the senior housing side, all the way to memory care, and then over to the post-acute side from skilled nursing to transitional rehab and home health.
Great. Yeah. And so the SMASH conference has been going for a few years now. Tell me a little bit about how that community has evolved. Who's attending recent SMASH events versus when you started?
Sure. So I love talking about the provenance and the history of SMASH. I actually had started in senior care about 8 years ago and did predominantly CEO conferences. Great group. I would always do a few marketing sessions. In particular, the rooms would be filled and I'd see them come out and I'd think, wow, none of this is getting back to your teams. So, and I'm a sales and marketer at heart as a conference producer. So I started SMASH after talking to a number of my colleagues on the senior care side that this was something that was really needed in the industries. So in year one, we're going into year five, by the way. In year one, I think we had 85 people and 85 provider organizations represented. And it was really exciting and, you know, just nothing like it had happened before. And, you know, in those first, I would say in the first 2 years, we really, from a participant and point of view, what we tried to focus on was a 30,000 foot view across the spectrum of marketing and sales, although we were less focused on sales at that point. So we were learning together about content, digital, you know, marketing technology. So we were very focused on that. And really, even at that time, people were very hungry for the basic, I would say the basic information. What are my counterparts doing? What should I be doing? And there was really no need at that point to in any way kind of change up the sessions for more advanced or less advanced. Everyone was kind of at the core level. And I think two things came out of that first SMASH, which were three things that were very clear. One, we committed ourselves to bringing in at least 75% of our speakers from outside the industry, the experts in content, the experts in digital, the experts in paid, so that our community could get an outside point of view. There's a bit of an echo chamber in any industry that you're in. So we wanted to make sure to break through that barrier. There are no other conferences in senior care that go across the continuum. From there, it's a very siloed industry, from not-for-profit to for-profit, from post-acute to housing. And we felt very strongly, as did my wonderful advisory board, who I have to give a shout out to. They have been not only instrumental, but have really been directional in everything that how SMASH has developed. And it was so exciting, even in that first year, for people to talk to their counterparts who they'd never met, who were selling different services, but to the same customer. And that was eye-opening and exciting networking for everyone involved. And of course, through all this, we also bring our solution partners to the table. Again, many of whom our participants are not familiar with a lot of what they do. And we're really grateful to be able to be introduced in a very low-key yet high thought leadership way. So those were the things that launched Smash. And I would say what's really evolved over time, in not so much in terms of topics, although we cover all those things, we've added tracks, we've enhanced it. So by year three, we saw there was a real need for our own sales management track, so that our SVPs of sales, our regional directors of sales in these multi-site organizations really had deep dive information on how they could be doing their playbooks better, and really also being able to have that handshake with marketing, which in today's world of sales and marketing, if you're not doing that, you're probably behind the curve. So that was really important. Post-acute became much more important, not because they weren't in the first place, but their selling has really shifted dramatically in the last 5-6 years. And I'll talk more about their challenges in a bit. But so we've added and have added very specific topics around post-acute. And then we have, while they're multi-site, we have what you call a small team track. And the small team isn't because they're small organizations. You'd be surprised how some very, very large organizations have small teams, and they have I won't say a different set of challenges, but their challenges can be many because of resources. And so we've continued to evolve. And then the final thing that we've done is kept our core focus, so that we're always bringing things forward that are very new and interesting to people. We have a very aspirational audience. You know, they are on every marketing and sales site you can imagine, and they are like, oh my God, we have to learn more about AI and marketing, because that's going to change our world, you know. And it may not for 5 years, but we get right on it and try and find the leading speaker in AI. I mean, that's an example for this year. So along with the core, what we've done over the last really 2 years, but are much more focused on it this year, is we are bringing in a number of what we call advanced sessions. Because what started in 2014 is everyone kind of being at the core and, you know, just having developed websites, or they haven't touched their sites in 4 years. We've now got experts in SEO and SEM within the industry. And content, while that was people like wanted to know all about it in the first year, now we put that into advanced tracks about how to use it, when to use it, how much to use it, how to really fashion it for each customer that may be coming to your site. So that's become very important. And finally, I would say the changing audience has been one, we're up to over 300, well over 300 provider organizations that attend. So it's a big conference, yeah, for this industry. A lot of people, a lot of sharing, great networking. I go back to that, from across the continuum. But the titles have also shifted. We still get the head of, SVP of sales and marketing, the chief marketing officer, the VP of sales, but they have started to bring their teams, their regional directors of sales. I don't think in the first 3 years we had a digital director. By last year we had 15. Wow. So clearly there has been growth. A lot of these organizations have decided, even though most use agency help and still use traditional marketing, digital marketing has really taken a much bigger footprint in their plans, both on the marketing and sales side. And so even when they're working with agencies that do digital, they really need that expertise in-house to manage, as you well know, Winston, a very complicated function, not just from how it gets done, but how to really analyze the results and see how you're going to change and what you're going to do with that. So that's been a very interesting shift as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's cool to hear the interest on these complex topics now that sort of the marketing and sales side of the industry has evolved and is really excited about these new technologies and these new opportunities. I mean, I think, you know, last year when I spoke at Smash was on how to handle web leads, and the fact that there are, you know, digital marketing directors that are in attendance and that they work for senior living communities is awesome to see. And I think really, really exciting.
Yeah. And again, these are our C-suite folks who digital usually, but what they're doing and how they're beginning to understand about lead management and helping their heads of sales or their regional heads of sales take that marketing information and tell a story to their teams on the ground and how to handle different leads, different ways. I would say one of the big, I saw probably 50 times, whether it was surveys or independent phone calls, and we stay very close to the Smash community throughout the year in a number of ways to really keep our ear to the ground of what they're most interested in. One is lead conversion. And, you know, I mean, which is an interesting evolution, because lead generation in 2014 was the buzzword, right? And now we've got a conversion. And so that's an evolution in and of itself. And the other is competition. I've heard that word. And so you can think it means one thing, but I'll tell you, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I believe that that's one of the reasons Smash has grown, because this is, you know, to know about these two vital areas in any organization and to be able to do a deep dive is really the only solution to competition. But we can talk again about those challenges in a bit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that leads me right into my next question, which are, you know, what are some of the challenges that you see senior care organizations facing? Because if lead conversion and competition are two buzzwords, those things are right, you know, they're hand in hand, really, when you think about it, because how are you going to convert the lead if you've got a lot of other competition? And I've heard, you know, from so many other speakers on this show and the podcast about speed to lead and just the challenges of being first to respond and all those things, I think, are sort of intermingled. What do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing senior care organizations right now?
Well, you know, certainly on the senior housing side, the changing demographic is one. You've got an older, different customer. I don't want to say frailer, but in many cases that is the case, because the changing demographic is they have an older consumer on the senior housing side. It also means they have more stakeholders, and the stakeholders are often the caregivers. They're the adult daughter. We call them the decider in chief in the industry, and so, you know, how to be able to understand how to reach all of the audiences, speak to all of their concerns, because they often have two sets of concerns, is a challenge. And, you know, when many of our participants talk about competition, there's been a huge amount of building in senior housing. So when the recession hit, while there had already picked up quite a bit of REIT interest, you know, real estate investment trust, this became one of the safest bets in town. And so there was a lot of money that went into the venture capital side, as well as the banking side, to be able to build, and people did see the demographic trend. So there's been a lot of increase in building and housing. So many, many markets are really in a killer competitive environment. And so that's a huge challenge. Talent is a huge challenge. And I'm saying that even for the sales side, talent certainly on the service delivery and the side is difficult to keep and retain and engage talent. But on the sales side, again, with all of the changes that have taken place in sales and marketing in general, you really need a different, if not different people, a different mindset. And so trying to keep them engaged, keep them challenged, hiring the right people, it's very different today than it was even 8 years ago. And so that's a big challenge, and especially now with 3.9% unemployment, everyone's feeling that pain. And again, just how quickly the marketing landscape is changing is affecting both the marketing and sales side. So if people aren't staying up on, you know, what's Facebook doing? And, you know, how much privacy is it, and where are my ads going, and are they being effective? And I just use Facebook as an example. You know, it's just so fast paced. It's a challenge. And then on the post-acute side, what they have, their challenges are, you know, since the recession, last administration putting in, trying to put in rails to bend the cost curve on medical care. And seniors are 80% of that care. Certainly Medicare is trying 100 million different pilots to do that. But really the overarching theme is value from volume. You know, there was always pay for service, fee for service, what they called it. And now it's about bundling the payment. And so everyone's responsible to some degree for outcomes to get paid. And so it's a much more networked environment. It's much more of a straight line B2B sale, but at a much higher level. It was always a referral market in terms of working with discharge planners and that group. But now these networks from either managed care organizations or affordable, accountable care organizations, ACOs, bundled payments, hospitals, physicians groups, all of them are looking for a narrow network of partners who they know can really deliver. And that requires a much higher level of selling, of understanding data from your company, how you can assure that there won't be some of the dings for rehospitalization and other things. So it's a much more complicated sale for post-acute, and that is a challenge. You know, this is a bit of the minutia, but less people are going into the hospital as a result of these rails, right? They're trying to keep them out of hospitals. And if you keep them out of hospitals, you're probably not referring them to the post-acute space. And that's a challenge. And so again, their competitive landscape has changed entirely because they're just less consumers who are using the post-acute product, whether it's home health or SNF or rehab. And again, I go back to data and execution, even though I would say that the post-acute side uses less marketing data because they are a B2B, although my contention is they should have more of a B2C facing world and worldview. And I think that's certainly true for some of the larger providers. But they have a lot of internal data that they have to put out in such a way. For each one of these partners, they're looking for a different set of data. So these sellers, right, who are being managed by, different groups in the C-suite, really have to understand data and be able to put out what a particular provider partner needs versus just, here are the four touch points to everybody. So we know that B2B is often a more complicated sale with a lot more stakeholders. So they've got a ton of challenges too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know the challenges all around. Well, and you mentioned data too. I think the data on both sides, I mean, on the senior housing and on the post-acute side in different ways, because with any marketing now, the more that data that's accessible, the more you sort of have to become a data scientist to understand where your lead's coming from, what's the conversion rate and what conversion rate really matters and what's the right, cost per lead, because there's so much data. Now, I feel like marketing and sales teams need to almost become data scientists to understand it all.
I absolutely agree. We've had a couple of sessions over the years on, the white lab coat and the data scientist. And that's still, by the way, an extremely important topic. And again, as the senior housing industry becomes more comfortable with what they're doing, I think the need for this kind of predictive analytics or the understanding of the analytics is key. You know, just looking at Google Analytics and trying to figure out what's going on is not the end game, I think, anymore for a lot of our organizations. And I wanted to give a shout out to the senior care community in that, again, when we started in 2014, I think the watchword was, we're so behind the times. And what I can say from attending many, many marketing conferences myself so that we can go poach speakers and ideas, which is what we do on our end, they're not that behind. Every business is running to catch up with what it all means and how it can, how they can grab that consumer before somebody else does. Right. So, the data is really important. And again, yes, there is an element of needing data scientists. I think therefore that's why we see more, VPs of digital in these organizations, whether it's on the referral side where they're trying to take organizational data and be able to put that back out to their customer, that hospital, physician group, ACO, or whether it's our senior housing folks who really are trying day by day, certainly looking at the back end of their web, what's happening, what do they have to shift, what do they have to change?
Yep. Yeah. And I do think, all those challenges also come with opportunities. We'll touch on those in a little bit, but I was just blown away at the the enthusiasm last year at the folks from Google who came to speak about artificial intelligence and home assistance and you know, having being able to talk to your Google Home and get information. And I thought, man, this is a senior care conference. Like, this was, you know, the first I had gone to. And I was like, this is so progressive. And it was like very cutting edge. And people were so excited about it. And I just think that it's a resilient group. These are a lot of challenges, but I think they're up to the task.
Oh, totally. These are some of the smartest people I've ever worked with in sales and marketing, and they just need to be given the tools and the ideas for the tools. And as I said, they're very aspirational. They will find the money in their budget to go try something most of the time. If they can't do it this year, they'll do it the following year. So absolutely, yeah. I agree with that.
That's great.
It's interesting we'll talk about the benchmark study in a little bit, but you know what, you know, where people were at, as I said, if you talked to them in 2014, they would have said they were completely behind the eight ball. And I would say today that they don't only not necessarily feel that way, but it's absolutely not the case. So,
yep. Yeah. And so on that note, we partnered last year and we worked on a benchmark study to understand really what was important to marketing and sales folks in the industry, identify some trends. What stood out to you about that study, and what have you heard from the Smash community, about the study? What was important to them?
Well, I think, what was interesting, to people, you know, as we were doing it, we had a great, again, subcommittee from our wonderful advisory board. Who just, I can't thank them enough. And they take a lot of time to really be able to give back to the sales and marketing community across senior care. That, you know, I think people had a misconception about where not only the dollars were being spent, but where the opportunities were to be able to do better, to be able to connect better with their leads. And, you know, I think the most interesting question that we asked and got answered was, what were the top sources for lead generation? And then what was most effective and where were they spending their money? And it really wasn't aligned. You know, they, not to say that it was all traditional and they should have been spending it in digital. Actually, there were some very real statistics that said they can't walk away from traditional selling. And whether that means print or tours or, you know, this is a very, people have to trust you to want to either put themselves into your care, or if you're the family member wants to say, yes, this is where we want mom to live, you know, there's a big trust factor. So that personal one-on-one or that traditional media can really, I think, put that forward in a different way. But digital certainly, and people are at a very different point with that. So almost everyone has CRM, that's kind of a given, but marketing automation, which again can help personalize the digital experience, is something that I think, you know, I think the statistic was last year that over 60% of our attendees were really looking to add marketing automation to the mix this year, because they, you know, again, going back to content in the first year, content can be a lot of things in a lot of different places, but that's marketing automation is one of those main kind of hubs for that. So that was interesting. And then websites, you know, I go back to it, speed to lead, right? If you want to be found, certainly many on the senior housing side do use lead aggregators or referral sources, you know, and that's great. And they capture all the keywords and they often fall to the top. But most websites or the majority were over 2 years old. And so that means, and as many of our participants know and our community knows now that, you know, this is often talked about at Smash, is that it really puts them down the rankings, right? Their SEO, their SEM, it's not functioning in the same way. And so their competitor will get that call first. And, you know, that's a big part of speed to lead. So going back to a big part of Smash is trying to get sales and marketing aligned so they understand how the other each can really help up the census and occupancy for each of their organizations. So we try and keep them really close. And we do, because all the rooms are packed. So there you go.
Yeah, that's great. I think that some of the stuff you touched on there, I mean, the automation side really does help, I think, with some of the challenges that we talked about with lead conversion and competition, because not everybody is using marketing automation right now. You know, your competitors might not be there yet. So you have an opportunity to automate some of those activities and actually improve your speed to lead so that you can deliver a personalized experience quickly. I think that that is just a massive opportunity to beat out some competition is to use those automation tools.
And I actually think that's one of the reasons people are so excited about AI. I think that's, what, you know, for on the sales side as well. You know, I've been diving into it this year because when people ask about it, I'm thinking to myself, other than Alexa, I don't know anything about AI. Right. But now I've learned a little bit more and I see that it both from call center or, you know, helping the call center and automating some of the process to free up your sales team to do the more traditional work of tours and making sure you're not missing the call, the lead, and making sure that people are remaining engaged with you is, you know, it will be a game changer. It's still not quite, but I think as we all continue to look at it together, that's going to be an interesting one. So.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And the fact that, you know, so many people's websites are over 2 years old is a little bit surprising. I mean, it's not surprising, but I think that that is kind of a startling statistic because, and actually I'm publishing an article, it'll be out by the time this podcast goes live about this very thing. But when you think about it, your website should really be your top salesperson. It gets the most exposure to the largest audience and it works 24/7, yet people launch it and then just let it sit for several years at a time. It's like you want to give that salesperson the right tools, make sure that they're well equipped. And so I think, yeah, definitely a focus on your website. It's oftentimes the first impression for folks of your organization. It's so important.
And, you know, I think, again, anecdotally from talking to a lot of people, it's really not the money, although it's always hard to find, you know, a big chunk of money to do a complete website redesign. It's, you know, understandable, but there are price points all along the way. You know, our folks are very busy. As I said, you know, people think of this, our small team track as, oh, that's for small organizations. Almost everyone has a small team in this industry. Yeah. And so they're wearing 100 million hats. And to find the kind of time that you really need to think about the way that websites are your 24-hour salesperson today is a huge investment of time. And I think sometimes that's almost the hardest thing for them to take on.
Yeah, I would agree with you for sure. That can be a big time suck. So, but it also can be really easy if you partner with the right folks.
Yes, Winston, it's true.
Yeah. No shameless plugs. I promised myself I wouldn't do it.
It's
anyway,
okay.
So tell me this. We talked a little bit about the challenges that the Smash community is facing and just the general senior living industry of challenges that they're faced with. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what are you most excited about or what opportunities do you think are the biggest opportunities for this community?
Well, I think for our sales and marketers, because they sit in the executive suite, there are two huge opportunities for them. And it's exciting. First of all, you know, it's funny. I'll just, you know, anecdotally say that when I tell people what I do, I'm a conference producer, I do, you know, I work in the senior care industry and they're like, oh my God, that must be the sleepiest, industry. Like you mentioned, when you came to the conference, you were really surprised at how cutting edge, not just the conference, but the people there, how they were thinking. I'm like, oh my God, this is the most dynamic industry I've worked in a long, long time. So before I say what opportunities there are, I want to say that for the sales and marketing folks, they are thinking all the time about how to get ahead of the competition and how to be able to do that so that their organizations and everyone is passionate about the way that their organization particularly serves seniors. So, you know, I think part of the opportunity is for sales and marketers that they are on the front lines, both on the sales side and the marketing side, about the kind of data and information that every organization needs to be able to understand what the consumer is really saying versus, you know, what they think they want, right? It's almost the features and benefits. So if people are trained to listen well and there is a pipeline in the way that information flows, both from the salespeople on the ground to the regional, then up through marketing and what kind of data is coming in and what they're clicking on and what's, you know, are they getting 100 clicks on dining or 1,000 or are they getting 100 or 1,000 clicks on caregiving being overwhelming? Well, doesn't that change the message depending on what, you know, what's being said? So I think the opportunity is really to be the eyes and ears for the organization about how they can begin to differentiate not only what they do. And I think that's a huge opportunity that's not really being taken advantage of in most organizations, that our folks are really the pipeline to that, but also to how they message, And that is certainly, at the very least, they can be that pipeline. And so that's, I think, a really exciting place for all of our SMASH community to be thinking about. And on the post-acute side, similarly, you know, they are the front lines talking to those professional referral organizations. They are on the front lines when consumers call, or that decider in chief who, you know, the hospital's called, you thought mom was getting out Friday. They call on Wednesday and they say she's getting out tomorrow. Here are five places we recommend. You have no idea, you know, the adult daughter has no idea what to do. She's calling three places. You know, who's answering that phone? What are they saying?
Right.
What questions are being asked? So that, again, the turnaround to that is the organization begins to know what's of real concern to the consumer as well as to their professional referral partners. And I think that's a great opportunity to be able to drive organizational success. So that's what we hope to be able to do through thinking about data and how it comes in and how it's leaving. I mean, one of the things in the professional referral market is the data that is available for most markets about how hospitals are discharging their patients and who they're discharging them to. So all of the HIPs, right, are going to this SNF or that SNF. Well,
right.
Again, the old guard, I would tell you, not the marketers so much, but certainly the salespeople were not necessarily paying attention that day by day. They now are. And if they aren't, they are figuring out a way to make sure that's happening. And so there's a lot of opportunity in all of that to be able to really shift the organization's message and their service to differentiate, which is a huge issue for them because people do feel that it's a bit of a commoditized service.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You've mentioned so many good things I think people can think about. And man, Bailey, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me. This has been just an excellent conversation. I think there's a lot of tidbits people can take and think about and opportunities to look forward to. And thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Winston, thanks so much for asking me. It was a great time. Thanks. Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Bailey Beacon, for being on the show. The SMASH Senior Care Sales and Marketing Summit is happening October 1st through the 3rd in Chicago. For more information and to register, visit seniorcaremarketingsummit.com. For a limited time, you can save $400 when you register for SMASH and use code SCG400. Visit our website at seniorcaregrowth.com for more Senior Care Growth Show podcasts, as well as other helpful resources, including the State of Senior Care Sales and Marketing Report that Bailey and I discussed in this episode. Again, that's www.seniorcaregrowth.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. My name is Winston, and I will talk to you soon.